Welcome to Unprofessional. It's the show where we talk to super fascinating people about anything but work. I'm Jamie Newberry, and also here, Dave Wiskus.
Hello, Jamie.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Excellent.
Ah, that's good to hear. Well, I think sooner than later, we should just go ahead and introduce our guest, because we've got one today.
You know, usually we wait till the end of the show
yeah.
to let the guest start talking. I think maybe once we should try it where the guest talks to the whole show.
I think that'd be a good thing.
Okay.
Well, that's all people really want to hear anyway.
Who do we got this week?
We have Tiffany Arment.
Hot damn. Hi, Tiff.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
The bigger question is, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has. And I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Don't do that.
I feel like I'm doing like a little bit of the podcast circuit right now since I was just on Marco's podcast, but
nice.
It's pretty entertaining.
Well, you know, the green room at our show is not quite as nice as the green room at ATP, but it's like Skittles instead of M&Ms or whatever.
Yeah, we do our best, you know.
Well, over here at ATP, it's the red room. But
nice.
Yeah.
I see. So we finally got to meet at WWDC.
We did. We had some nice dinners together, and it was very good.
Some prime rib was eaten. At that point, it's a clear no-brainer to me. We have to get you on the show now.
Aw, you're so sweet.
And for what it's worth, Tiffany, I barely know any of the people we ever talk to, so we're equally as foreign to each other as I am with almost every other guest that Dave and I have ever talked to.
Yeah, I got the lowdown at dinner while we were eating. I was like, okay.
Got it.
Tell me about her, Marco. What's going on?
I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but awesome. Awesome.
No, I pretty much just got the basic facts, so I'm good.
What were the facts? Yeah, what are the facts?
Oh, that you live in Las Vegas.
I do.
That you have kids.
I have two of those.
Two kids and a boyfriend.
Yep, one of those.
And and you knew Dave from work and you're a graphic designer?
Sort of, yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what I got.
Yeah, that's it. I haven't actually done graphic design for almost probably a decade now. But yeah, I guess design is in my repertoire. So that's cool. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So that was all I... And then I know Dave, so from listening to the show and meeting him at WWDC, so...
So what do you guys talk about at WWDC?
Probably nerd stuff.
Yeah,
the kinds of nerd stuff.
And Amy Jane, because she's great.
She is great. I like
that. That's the thing. How do you handle that when you're at these things? Especially like, I remember the dinner table the one night. I won't go down the whole roster, but it was a lot of people who are sort of nerd podcast people. And I feel like when I say the word nerd, it comes off as being pejorative. I don't necessarily mean it that way in this context. But it's, you know, people like us who are talking about computers and stuff all the time at an event that is all about people getting together to talk about computers all the time. How does that not drive you insane?
Oh, I find it really interesting, as I always talk to Marco about his development work and I ask him questions about what he's doing. And he actually answers the questions for me in terms that not just that I would understand, but also so he speaks his geek language here and there. And then I ask like, oh, well, what does that mean? And then he explains that and we keep on going with the conversation. So when I'm in that kind of situation, I can understand words like code and bug and
compiler. I ask because I want, if you can get through this with your sanity, I want to know how, because it drives me crazy.
No, I mean, I find it interesting because I like to know what Marco's actually doing in here all day. So I guess I just kind of got roped into the world of what's going on. And he listens to podcasts in the car and thinking that I would fall asleep. And sometimes I stay awake and I actually listen to them with him. And so it just kind of happens that I'm kind of stuck in this world now, even though I have no idea how to code at all.
Oh,
not even
totally
tried
okay.
once.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Being a non-developer in a sea of developers, I can speak like the Apple part of the language, and I can understand parts of the code.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not my world, and I feel like I'm at this weird fringe. And the people around me sort of assume that because I'm there, I must know these things. And I just kind of smile and nod and like, yeah, Swift, whatever that is.
Well, I always feel like Apple's my team, so you know, I just kind of root for the team and. I pay attention to what they're doing, but in terms of, you know, knowing the little nuances and things like that, it really doesn't matter. You know, I don't know all the little players and all that kind of stuff, but I know that I like that team because people I know like that team. So
woo, I'm with you. I feel the same. You know, I think just being married to one of these people, like, that kind of speaks to itself at how you, I mean, this is a part of your life every day, regardless of, you know, conversations at WWDC or whatever. Like, this is a part of your life every day. I think it's fascinating that I guess a given that, yes, you would be interested to some degree, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I've always really liked computers and I've always been, you know, involved with them and doing things and playing games. And, you know, I wasn't just like I've never been a person that didn't know my way around a computer, you know, like, or if I wanted to fix something, I tried to figure out how to learn how to do it myself before asking other people to do it. And I think that that's kind of what Marco, he saw a little bit of that in me when, you know, we were dating and it attracted him, you know.
That's awesome.
He's like, oh, you kind of know what you're doing. Let me show you this keyboard shortcut. So romantic.
No, those are the cool things, though. That's for sure. That's cool. So I want to know more about you. I want to know, yeah, tell us more about who you are.
Oh, I don't, where do I start?
You knew all these facts about me. Tell us about you.
Just my general facts?
Well, yeah, let's start there. Vital let's start statistics. With some general facts.
31, 5'8", weight unknown.
I'm a Capricorn.
But no, I mean, what do you, what should I lead me somewhere?
Yeah, well, so what is it at the average day in the life of Tiffany Arment?
Mostly poop management because I have a son.
You have a son.
And he's 2. So mainly dealing with him every day. I'm a stay-at-home mom, locked in, forced to hang out with him all day.
It seems like at a certain point that'll become less about poop management.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, right now it's also about tantrum management. So, because he's 2 and he just, you know, is testing his boundaries. So
yes,
we just kind of each hour jumping from thing to thing to do. And, oh, you're tired of this, time to eat. Oh, tired of that, time to nap. Oh, tired of that, go to the pool. Like, so.
That's how I live my life. But, like, I manage myself that way.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad. It's nice now that he's actually, like, talking back to me about stuff, even though it's in gibberish, as before it was, you know, just looking at this little baby loaf and like, so, how's your day?
Yep, they just stare and drool and sleep and eat and poop. And
yeah, I've never been so busy but so bored as a new mother. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh, it is, it's outrageous.
Babies have that effect of, I look at one and I just think to myself, when does it start doing stuff?
Yeah, I was the same way, Dave, seriously.
It is. Yeah, you just keep waiting and waiting until for them to all of a sudden, like, oh, when are they going to walk? When are they going to talk? When are they going to do this stuff? And then you're like, oh my God, stop doing all these things.
Yes.
You're getting into everything.
That's what, like, I wish it weren't illegal to, like, you know, child labor laws and stuff, because I swear that, like, you could give them so many activities. I used to say, like, when mine were really little, like 2 was the prime age, but, like, a professional drawer emptier, professional cupboard emptier.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, I put Adam to work now. I give him a sponge and I'm like, here, clean the algae off of the water table.
Yeah.
This is fun.
And they do. They're very, yeah, give them a box to put things into. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Keep them busy for hours. Anyway.
I have no idea what a water table is.
Oh, it's a little it's a little plastic table that's about their standing height, and you fill it with water, and they play with it.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. It is entertainment. I mean, you could do the same thing with, like, a huge Tupperware, but
secretly, it's training.
Then there's nothing
dishes.
For the grandparents to buy them.
Huh.
Yeah. Exciting things.
So it's I always feel bad about this comparison, but the best I can figure is, it's kind of like having a dog, where when I got my dog, there was a period of time where she didn't really do much, and I was mostly just, like, running around cleaning up poop.
Yep.
Me cleaning the poop, not her cleaning the poop. And at a certain point, we dealt with the poop situation, and we got that squared away, and then I kind of just try to teach her stuff, and now she's more or less autonomous.
Yeah, but the year equivalent of the dog growing up stages and then being independent is a lot, takes a lot longer with little people.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say that having a child and having a dog are equivalent. I'm just
had the dog first, so we understand. We used our dog as practice, and it was our furry child for the first year. So I get that feeling of,
smart, actually. I went straight from house plants that I could barely keep alive to actual human beings. Not the best strategy.
House plants. I am terrible with houseplants. They just
so
do not love
hard.
Me.
They don't love me either. When I lived in San Francisco, totally different story. They just grew on their own. So I thought I had mastered the skill. But then
like,
I moved
yes,
back
I
to Las Vegas.
Plant God.
Yeah. I moved back to Las Vegas. No. 2 months max.
Marco's hippie mom has an insane green thumb. Like everything just grows for her. And I think it's because she talks to them all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm not about to go and do that.
I can't do it. No.
So the having a dog for your... before you have a baby, like that's like a trial, like a buffer, right?
Oh yeah. And then once the baby comes, now the dog and the baby play together. It's amazing. Like they totally entertain each other, just running around playing fetch and tug of war, and you're like, this was a great idea.
Is it because the dog is less responsibility but kind of the same, or is it because if the dog dies it's not a big deal? Your answer to this question will tell me a lot about you as a person.
Would never say a dog dying is not a big deal. I get super attached about animals dying, and I get very emotional about that. I rather see people die in movies, mass quantities of people dying in movies, than like one animal die.
Oh, that's a real thing. That's totally a real thing. You watch, I Am Legend. Terrible movie. If you haven't seen it, don't bother.
No, but, I've seen it.
There's a scene and there's like, you know, something might happen to the dog. And when things happen to dogs in movies, it's, you can watch people die.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. But when they even know it, so that when they'll like cut to the dog and make that, they'll like milk the emotion out of that.
Ugh, I can't take thing. It. I just feel so bad because I'm like, they didn't know. They're so innocent.
Yeah, because who would hurt a dog?
Exactly. I mean, come on. They're so loyal.
I mean, people, fuck them, whatever. There's plenty. The dogs.
Yeah. Like anyone who hurts a dog, I'd be like, you need to die. You know, like, I go to the extreme. I can't handle.
Like, who hurts the pets?
Somebody had tweeted that whenever they hear that Sarah McLachlan song,
Arms
of the Angels, they always think of the homeless dogs, which is funny because to me, growing up in Colorado, that was the song that they kept playing on the radio after Columbine.
Right.
And they would play a version of that song, but with like news clips of people's reactions at the school interspersed. It was really weird, actually, now that I think
can't
about this.
The montage, it gets me emotional.
Yeah,
anytime.
It's funny to think now that people, when they hear that song, think homeless dogs. Me, I'm thinking people getting shot at school.
Those
and
homeless
it makes me,
and abused dogs, though. And those yeah.
See, I think Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan.
Still, I guess.
City of Angels.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, Dan.
And silence. Yeah. Let's talk about some more murdered children and abused animals.
I know. Yeah, this is a really great uplifting podcast.
We got the. I'm switching the subject. No, I have a curiosity.
What's that? Is it about dogs?
No, it's not. It is kind of a subject change. It's not about food, believe it or not. But 4th of July is coming up.
Yes.
And I was actually curious, do you guys do holidays? Does everybody celebrate? And specifically with 4th of July, do you guys like fireworks? What are your opinions on fireworks?
This is like 8 questions.
Yeah. Well, I have a whole bunch of curiosities about 4th of July.
We always go up to Marco's family's, his mom has a house up on a lake. And so we go up there and there's fireworks and everyone brings food and, you know. Nice. We try and wear some red, white, and blue, swim in the lake,
sweet.
You know, America. So that's about what we do pretty much every year.
That's actually very cool.
I don't think I know what I did last year for 4th of July.
I probably,
but you got, I mean, the fireworks, I love fireworks. My brother shot fireworks off at our wedding. So
that's what I was going to ask you. Is it like, do you go to a fireworks like show, or do you guys have your own fireworks there at the house? Or,
well, sometimes people will bring some fireworks and they'll shoot them off like at the lake, and then there's a camp across the lake that will sometimes have fireworks, and we usually leave that night. We don't stay over, so on our drive back we get to see like all the fireworks happening and all the little counties that we're driving through, and then we get home and you can hear like New York City fireworks, and you know, it's just, there's just fireworks everywhere.
It's true. I live in one of those like suburban area, you know, suburban Las Vegas. So it's dry. It's a desert here. And we used to have these neighbors across the street that would set off fireworks like all night long. And in
that
the morning,
can get dangerous.
Yeah, right. In the morning, I would go
out. In the
dry
weather like that.
Yes, my driveway would be covered with like firework leftovers. And I don't know, like it became a ritual for me to like water my yard. The whole like, I'll spend an hour just spraying my yard down. On the 4th of July.
Please don't set a blaze. Please.
Don't burn our house down, please. Anyway, So I have
I would have some uncles that would always like cross the state lines to go get fireworks and load up their trunk like crazy hillbillies and like just driving.
And
full
that's
of fireworks in their trunk, like huge like mortars and really dangerous stuff. And then they just go in the backyard and they're like, let's just shoot this stuff on fire. And then they would, you know, just light it up, and
they
give us the little tanks that like drive down the street and light those up and they like explode. And
I loved those.
Yeah. Oh, and then the sparklers, you know.
Those weird bullshit fireworks where you light them on fire, throw them on the ground, they just turn into snakes.
Oh, the snake ones are the worst. They're just like the little turds of ash. That's pretty much what they are.
They're the black licorice jelly bean of fireworks.
And everyone would get the little snaps, you know, and like you'd throw those at each other.
The thing that you throw at people's feet. Yeah.
Yeah, my uncles were the same way, where they always go and buy these giant boxes of ridiculous fireworks. As an adult, I look back at that and I go, what the fuck were they thinking?
I know.
One of our family members brought this one a couple years ago called the Brouhaha, which was a tremendous Stein kind of big beer glass looking thing of fireworks that you just like set on fire. And
the name speaks for itself.
Exactly. The Brouhaha. I mean, how could you forget that?
I love it.
One year we were in front of my uncle's house shooting off fireworks, and it was like a cul-de-sac, and everybody around had, you know, their own fireworks displays in their front yard. And it was all well and good until a firework from the neighbor's house shot across the street and let my mom's hair on fire.
Oh my god.
Shut up.
Dead serious.
Oh,
see,
did she get a scar?
That's exactly my fear.
No, she was okay. It was just her hair burned a little bit. It was hilarious, though.
Was it?
At the time.
Burning just
hair?
A little bit? Yeah, that's terrible.
At the time, it was hilarious. Now I look back and I'm thinking, oh my God, people could have died.
Yeah.
But when I'm eight, it's fun.
Does your dog go crazy on
No, she doesn't seem to mind. She's not upset by thunder or anything like that either. She's pretty atypical of dogs as that stuff goes.
Our dog, too, really just ignores it. Because he's a rug.
That, for hunting dogs, I know that they take the dogs out when they're puppies just so that they're around the sound of gunfire.
That makes sense. So they're not startled.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe because I've always lived downtown, I wonder if having her as a puppy downtown, like the noise just never bothered her.
Yeah. You know, you have to think about that. I always think of the city dogs. I'm like, oh, this must be really loud for them in the city, but they probably just get used to it.
Yeah. Pixel doesn't give a shit. She's pretty chill. Even walking, because I take her to the office with me every day, and the walk up and down a major street in New York City, she doesn't care. She's fine.
That's great.
Nothing bothers her.
Yeah, Hops too. We pretty much trained him to shut his mouth. He's adorable. Like I said, he's just a rug. He's just a love rug. Like he just.
What kind of dog is
gross.
He?
He's a shih poo. He's a shih tzu and a poodle, so he was pretty much bred to be a lap dog, and then. I don't know. The poodle just makes him soft, but
and hypoallergenic.
And hypoallergenic, he is.
Shit poo.
Yeah.
Did you get the dog? Did you get that breed because of that?
Yeah, I think that's Marco picked him.
Okay. I really want a shit poo.
I know, that sounds great.
It is.
He wanted to call it a shit doodle or something. I don't know. It's like.
See, I would have gone like Schitzel.
Oh, Schitzel. That would be a. Let's see, a Shih Tzu and Pixel. No,
that would be a god awful ugly dog.
Yeah, they have schnoodles are very ugly dogs. That's a schnauzer and a poodle.
Oh, god.
Awful looking.
I really do. I think that some of these combinations are just because the names are funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a horrible way to create a new life.
My parents had a cockapoo.
Oh, God. See, See? That's...
It's a great name. I love that. No, that's hilarious.
No.
a cockapoo.
These are living creatures we're talking about.
Oh, no, that's the one Marco wanted to call a cockadoodle. That's what he said.
Cockadoodle.
Cockadoodle instead of cockapoo.
Oh, I love it.
Ah, that's not okay. Do people do that with cats? Do cat people have weird cat names?
I don't know. I mean, aren't there, isn't there just like one type of cat? The cat type of cat?
The cat type of cat.
I'm not a cat person. I have no idea. I've seen cats that look different. I assume they're different breeds.
I think they either just have hair or they don't.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I don't know.
I have cats.
No, they have long hair ones.
They do. They have long-haired ones, short-haired ones, and no-haired ones. And then there are all kinds of different things. I'm not really a cat person, but I did
end up
with cats.
Most cats just come from, like, your backyard, right?
Exactly. These ones, yep. These ones, one was a giveaway from another friend, and one was, these cats had kittens and were trying to get rid of them. And
Yeah, the backyard cat.
Exactly.
So, this is what I love about you, Jamie. You're not really a cat person, but you have two cats. You have two children, and you're talking about how you wish that there weren't child labor laws.
Yeah, that's a, you know, I'm a fantastic human being, it sounds like, doesn't it? Jeez, yeah, I sound pretty terrible.
Hey, no. You just get some reality once you have all these things. You're like, yeah.
You're a super villain on paper.
Yes, I am. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I never thought I was really... I didn't really think I was designed to be a parent of human beings either, but that happened and it's working out. They like me and I like them and they seem to be quality human beings so far. If that continues on for the duration of their lives, I will have succeeded.
I'm good at dog. I'm going to stick with that.
Singular dog? No, you're dog. Not getting
a
friend.
Yeah, no, I don't need another dog. I'm good with the one. I'm just happy she's still alive. It's been almost 4 years. Pretty happy that I've kept her going.
I'm trying to convince Marco to get a second dog because, I mean, we have the name Hops, so we needed a Barley.
You finally get that cockadoodle.
Yeah, see? You have all the doodles.
Although I will say the one thing about her being in the city, I stopped at the bodega downstairs before I came up to record this, and some police officers walked in and she barked at them. And she doesn't normally bark at people, but I feel like if she's going to bark at anybody, cops are the possibly worst possible choice.
Well, they do say that dogs pick up subtle signals from their owners. So if you're uncomfortable with the cops,
exactly.
She becomes uncomfortable with the cops.
Maybe. Eh? It's, well, I am on the lam, so there's that.
Oh, see? She totally picked up on it. She knows. She knows.
She's like, Dave, they're here. Hi.
It's the fuzz. Play it cool, Vixel. Play it cool. They just laughed. It's okay.
We get it all the time, sir.
Getting barked at by dogs.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
So you guys, you're not that far away, right?
From you?
Yeah.
No, we're like 15 miles from the city, so we're pretty close.
So like an 8-hour drive.
Yeah. That's about, it depends on what time of day you leave, but I think you could extend it to about 8 hours.
Because you're like, what, just the other side of the river?
We're on the same side of the river.
Well, I mean the other side to the north of the river, since Manhattan's an island.
Oh, right. The little river. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We're on the other side of the littlest river. We can see Manhattan from our train station.
Oh, okay.
We used to have an apartment where Marco could pee and look at Manhattan at the same time, and he really liked that because the window was right above the toilet, and we had this beautiful view from our bathroom.
So. There's a Thai restaurant in Soho where the bathrooms, the wall of the bathroom is a two-way mirror. So while you're eating, you just see a mirror. But when you're standing in the bathroom peeing, you see everybody eating.
Our cruise ship was like that on our honeymoon. We had the shower wall was a two-way mirror. So you'd be like in a port showering on this gross dock with sailors. And you're like, oh my God,
How
does
weird.
Anybody feel okay about that?
Well, while you're out on the ocean, it's really nice. And so you're like showering and you see like this big, floor to ceiling ocean, beautiful view. And then you get into a harbor and you're like, oh, I'm feeling really weird about this.
Suddenly the fun has left the room.
It's creepy to me. It's definitely creepy. I don't know.
You just hope it works. That's all.
Exactly. Like, right.
I just keep thinking it's going to turn off, Like, there's a button that I accidentally pushed and that's it. It's over.
Well, there's...
exposed.
Secrets out.
When we were at in San Francisco for the Build conference a couple of months ago, me and my coworkers, John and Brent, and we were staying at the Intercontinental, and we were in these corner rooms, all three of us, different floors, these corner rooms, and we realized, like, I'm on the 25th floor or something, and I walk into the bathroom. It is floor-to-ceiling windows in the bathroom.
Yep, I've stayed at that hotel before, yeah.
And it's gorgeous, and you can sit there, and the toilet is right next to the window. So you can imagine you're sitting there, and you've got a gorgeous view of San Francisco, and looking out over the bay, and it's beautiful.
Now, is that two-way glass?
And, well, I guess my assumption was that at least during the day, when the sun is hitting the glass from the outside, you can't see in. And John was talking about, you know, in the morning he gets up and doing his business, like being able to look at. And he's like, he was on like the ninth floor or something, so he's two floors above a balcony. And there's some people out on the balcony, like having brunch, and he's watching the waiter come out and take people's orders and things like that. And he says, you know, he's looking at this and just thinking about, you know, those people are right there. I hope they can't see if they look up. And so we're discussing this as we're walking back to the hotel one day, and we look up. And we see, we're like, oh, well, if it was this side of the building, be this room, and it would be this. And we look in, we could see from the balcony, from the street, right into his bathroom.
Oh, my gosh.
Clear as day.
The realization hits. Oh, shit.
This isn't private at all.
So it's a good thing nobody looked up. What a thing to see while you're having brunch, though.
Yeah.
Now, if you ever have brunch there, that's all you're going to be like craned up, like looking, seeing like who you can catch.
What a weird decision architecturally.
It really is. I don't know. It's a trippy thing. There is a lounge downtown that has the bathrooms are that way. So you go in to use the restroom and you can see the other people like washing their hands or whatever. You can see out, but supposedly they can't see in. And when, you know, when you're washing your hands, you can't see in, but it's so trippy. It's so, yeah, that same feeling that you guys talked about. It's just so weird.
There's a certain intimacy to it that I'm not entirely comfortable with.
I think it would just make me super pee shy. Like, well, I just wouldn't be able to go.
You can't, like, yes, it. Performance anxiety, right? Like, yeah. I can't do this. That is exactly the feeling that happened. Yes.
So, like, ugh. You just got to wait it out.
I have to go home.
Everyone leaves.
I can't do this.
I can't. It's too much pressure.
It's too weird.
I'm trying to, I mean, there's a whole series of things like that. Like, even just doing this show in front of an audience takes a different kind of mental preparation than doing a recorded version of this. Giving a talk about work on a stage at a conference is very different from just doing the work. Like, they're two completely different mindsets.
Totally.
And then there's this whole other range, and I'll start by saying bathroom, and I'll just end with saying bedroom. There's all these other intimate activities that if you imagine that, even if there isn't, but if you imagine there's an audience, it completely changes the game.
It changes everything. That just changes everything. Yeah, you got to know who is watching you. I think.
Or listening. Know. Sometimes apartments have thin walls.
It's true. Like office space.
Right. Right.
Oh man. Yeah, it does. It changes everything.
Well, I'm interested in the idea of that, the times we think we're alone versus when we have an audience.
But like being on camera with surveillance everywhere, cameras everywhere, when you think that you are alone and then you realize there's a camera right there.
I don't find that even security cameras like at a bank or an ATM or a convenience store, those don't really change my behavior, but if I can see the camera,
yeah,
it does change my posture. Or if I can see the video screen from the camera.
So here's the thing. So we recently got a drop cam. And the reason
what's that?
A drop cam, it's a little camera you can set up in your home, and there's an app that goes with it, like your little iPhone app. And it's basically like in-home surveillance, right? And we got it so that we could check on our kitties when we're gone. Yes, yes, I know. But okay. You know, sometimes we'll go away for just like an overnight or whatever. And then also we've actually had there've been some car break-ins in our neighborhood recently. So, you know, just like extra layer of protection or whatever. So we put this little drop cam on our piano, which kind of gives you a great view of the entire, my floor plan in my home is really open. So like you can see the main room, there's like a couch and a dining room table and a fireplace and a kitchen. Like, you can see everything, and including like the door that comes in from the garage and stuff. And so if somebody were to come into the house, you would see them. But also, when I just, you know, I'm working during the day, the camera happens to be on, but it also, you know, it logs video footage to, you know, saves it on the cloud and all this stuff. But you can go back and watch, like, you know, I don't know. It's definitely, I don't know. It's brought this paranoia to me. So I can turn it off at any time. But sometimes I forget that it's running and I'm like, ooh, you know, I'm just sitting here working and drinking my coffee or whatever. But it's weird. It's actually a little bit weird.
I wonder if that's what my son feels like with the baby monitor in his room.
Yeah.
Or he will. If I do it a little bit too long, you know, he gets too old and still have the camera. Yeah.
Mom, I'm 12.
He's 28, still has it in there.
Yeah. No, he calls it the eye.
Whoa.
Yeah. He's like, eye. I was like, yep. That's the eye. I see you. I know. He started calling it that when he was like 1.5, maybe
that's
a little
awesome.
Younger than that.
See, he knows. See.
I know. The first time he said that, I was like really kind of shocked. Like,
stop reading him Orwell.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That was my problem.
We got I got an Xbox One, and it came with the Kinect, and the Kinect has the camera thing in it.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't know. I'm not entirely comfortable with the fact that my Xbox could be watching me at all times.
Yes. See?
I'm worried my phone watches me. You know, sometimes when I'm browsing Twitter, like in the bathroom, I'm like really worried that the phone camera, like somehow someone can get, and I'm like, this is, I just, you know, sometimes I want to put my thumb over it.
Well, just, they say that with your computer cameras, right? That like people can hack in and just watch you through your computer camera. I've heard that.
Well, the whole,
it's just there. You don't even ever think about it being there.
The whole Snowden NSA thing, the revelation was, I mean, supposedly that the NSA could turn on your computer or phone's camera and watch you at any time.
At any time, yep.
That scares me. Not even because I'm doing anything wrong, but just like I don't like feeling like I'm being watched.
But that's exactly it. You know, it's like you like to know. You like to just, I mean, security cameras are different in places because you expect it, right? I mean, I live in Las Vegas. There are cameras everywhere at all times, right? Not that I hang out in the casinos, but they're there. So you expect it. But yeah, like you were saying with the Kinect and even with, you know, Dropcam that I put in my own home. But we have two Kinects here. We have one in the playroom and one in our room. And yeah, like my home is very video camered.
Sometimes when I'm getting ready for the day or to go out or something, like when I come out of the shower, if my laptop is open, like I close it.
Yep.
Not because the camera's on or anything like that, but just because, you know what, just in case, I don't know, something, my dog stepped on a key or something, and now there's a live streaming video of me walking out of the shower. I just, let's remove all chance. Let's remove any chance that that's going
to
happen.
I just don't think
I'm consistent enough to remember that kind of stuff. And so it's like every once in a while I'll remember, and then otherwise it's just, fair game, you know.
But meanwhile, we're all pretty much okay. You alluded to this a second ago, Tiff, with... So we'll tweet from the bathroom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's sort of like, we'll all even openly discuss that we mostly view Twitter while
well,
I'm in the bathroom.
My only free time is really in the bathroom. So it's like, that's where I go to hide. You know, I'm like, Marco, watch the kid for a little bit. I gotta go. And I'm just like in there on Twitter. So when I need him to like be really sure, I'm like, I'm leaving my phone outside. You can see I'm not on Twitter. Just really have to go.
Oh, good. So he knows there's a difference. Because otherwise, if you're in there if that's the thing, he doesn't know that you're on Twitter, he might think you have some like serious like digestive problems.
Oh, no. He knows I hide in there. I just, mommy needs a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have two girls and there is no minute. There's no minute.
They follow you in.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, being a single mom, too, like that. Yeah. There's no.
Yeah. You have no one to like pass it on to and be like, just
watch the girls for a minute. Like, you know,
you don't have a leave me alone, I'm in the bathroom.
Well, they're older now, but like at the age of 2 or, you know, even like 6.
You can't like walk away for a second when they're little. They're up on they're all of a sudden they're climbing the couch and they're falling off the back and their arm's broken. Like that, you just turn your back and stuff like that happens.
Seriously, every story of child disaster, what does the parent say? I was only gone for a second, right? Every parent in the history of, you know.
Well, yeah, but that's like, of course they're going to say that. Nobody's gonna be like, I was only gone for 3 hours. Or, you know what, I was gone all day. That makes sense.
It happened so fast.
I can totally believe that happened.
Yeah, I was gone this whole time.
I mean, even when you are there, things happen. But yeah.
Oh, anyway, yeah. So, the worst accidents always happen, like, he trips over my leg, you know, like, and cuts his lip open.
Yeah.
You know, he's running treacherously throughout the house, narrowly missing corners and almost tripping over toys and almost going headfirst into the wine rack, like all these things. And then he comes over to me to give me a hug and he trips over my foot and gives himself a bloody lip. So it's like, it's you're true. Right on top of me, literally getting hurt.
See, this never happens with my dog.
Dogs are much more graceful than two-year-olds.
It's true. She did come to me the other day. She sort of three-legged hopped over to me and hands me her paw. And I take a look. She's got a great big splinter in it.
Aww.
I thought it was kind of cute that she knew to, like...
Help me.
Like, she hops over to me like, here, fix this. I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, when you see the dogs three-legged hopping, you're like, oh, my God, what's happening?
What's going on? What's going on?
What'd you break?
The closest thing I have to, like, parental mode in my head.
I think it's totally legit. Totally legit. It's the same thing. Just a little easier.
I would imagine a lot easier.
Yeah.
Except she's never going to go to college, and she's never going to get a high-paying job and then take care of me when I'm older.
Yeah. Well, you hope that that's what they do, right?
My dog?
Yeah.
I mean, I do hope that.
Well, no, then you could also have one of those, you know, arrested development kids that never grow up,
yeah.
Leech off of you forever, live in your house.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
That, you know, I...
Just don't say those horrible things.
That was very... I wasn't that far off from being that guy. Had things gone just a little bit differently, that would have been me. And I think that was me for a little while. Like, when I was like 20, 21, I had to move back in with my mom for a little while.
It happens.
Did you guys keep treating your, you know, whenever I go home, I always act like I'm 17 and then my parents treat me like I'm 15. So it's like all of a sudden you get back into that like, ma, you know, just that mode of being with them. I, you know, even though you can hang out and be adults together, as soon as you're back home for maybe like more than 24 hours.
Yeah.
It becomes like, ma.
Well, it becomes, for me anyway, it does revert to the way we behaved when I was that age. But it wasn't quite that kind of relationship. It was mostly just us screaming at each other all the time. It was a very, wow, that got dark.
Then
just, you know, I was very strong-willed and opinionated, and so was she. So my teenage years were about as fun as you would probably guess.
I just did a lot of homework.
Oh, when you were...
That also sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you were younger, not when you were...
Not when I go visit now. No, I don't do homework.
That'd be weird.
I have those dreams where I forget that I need to be doing homework. You know, you get those anxiety dreams that you missed a class.
Yep.
God, how long has it been since we've been back in school?
I still have those dreams about, like, missing an entire semester of one class. Like,
yeah,
I just
you're like,
didn't
there was
go.
A class I was supposed to be going
yes.
to.
Yes! Why did
now,
those happen?
I've never had that dream.
Oh, my God.
It's the worst dream.
It is the worst dream.
I dropped out of high school when I was 16, so that's not a...
That's all right, man. That's yeah, just, that's
see,
good that
you
don't have that dream.
Avoided a lifetime of those horrible dreams.
Yeah, great call on my part.
The anxiety behind those dreams are the worst.
Seriously.
Ever have those dreams where your teeth fall out?
I have had that dream before as well, where it's just they crumble. You want to hear something really bad?
Oh, that's so awful.
Here's something that happened just 2 weeks ago. One
your
of my
teeth fell out?
No, my tooth. No, but my front tooth. I chipped my front tooth. Like
what?
Here, so I'm a nail biter. I hate to admit it, but I'm a nail biter. I was just like, am I getting old? I mean, I've always had healthy teeth. They're fine. But I was biting my thumbnail and I chipped my tooth. Seriously, this happened. 2 weeks
is
ago.
It a bad, really bad one, or can you just get it filed
I,
out?
I got he like it took him literally 30 seconds to fix it. Like he just put some spackle or something on there. It wasn't like the whole corner was gone. It was like a little sheath off the front. But you know, but it,
I did that on a beer bottle while running.
Beer bottle while running. Do explain.
It was in a sorority. It happened. I don't know.
You're
it
jogging wrong. oh, like just running across a room or something.
Were you a hatcher?
No, we were stealing things from a frat house.
Oh, okay.
So we were running in the snow while drinking.
Okay. Well, that's still better than the image I had in my head was like, you just go out for your morning run and you take a beer with you.
Oh, Yeah. No, I don't run. That's horrible.
Drinking, totally okay, but running?
Yeah.
Let's be responsible.
And drinking.
That's okay.
I like that that's your story, though, that you were, yeah, chipping your tooth on a beer bottle while running. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah. It's gone now. They filed it out. Yeah. The evidence is gone.
What were you stealing?
Paintings and various
You're an
frat
art thief?
Memorabilia. Yeah, apparently
an art thief.
I am.
Did
art
you
thief.
Major in art theft?
Well, I did. Take a class of art history, so I did know what to steal.
Is that the class
a little bit
you
better
missed
than
the
other
entire
girls.
Semester? Missed a whole semester of art. Oh man.
Yeah, that was our final exam, was to, you know, bring back the most valuable painting on campus.
And whoever brought back the right painting.
Right.
And, you were graded,
you know,
based
on
the
value
of the painting.
I chipped my tooth to get it, so.
I hope you get an A.
I did. No, I think I got a C in that class. Man.
What did you major in?
I majored in theater, actually.
Nice.
Totally strange.
Did you do a lot of plays and stuff?
I did. I thought I was going to be a stage manager or a director. Ooh, as my career.
Nice.
And during my first internship in New York City, I decided I hate rehearsals. So I'm like, the rehearsals are terrible. You know, like sitting there and going through them all. I used to love it in college. And then in the real world, it just wasn't as fun. So I begged them to put me in the costume shop at the Playhouse. It was like a small off-Broadway theater. And because I knew how to sew, because my grandma taught me.
Yes.
And yeah, so I started making costumes and I got really into that. And I took a class at FIT to learn how to drape and ended up working, making costumes for Broadway.
See,
and all that kind of
that's
stuff.
That's so awesome. That's the coolest thing.
Pre-mom.
Do you still use your, you're going to make awesome costumes for your kid.
Yeah, I made him a little fox costume.
That is
so Halloween.
Awesome.
It was really cute. And then everyone on Twitter kept saying, "What does the fox say?" And I was like, "Well, actually, it has this really weird noise and da da da." Like, I'm trying to explain what a fox sounds like. And I never saw that video until months later. And I was like, "Oh, that's what everyone was talking about."
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, don't have the idea. You don't either? Nobody knows?
I know.
That video? That
I
viral?
Know. I totally know. I have, yeah. Oh, okay. I have children who know, and they know what the fox says, and I hate that song.
What the hell are you talking about?
Now it's in your mind. Put it in the show notes.
It's the word.
I don't need to see the video. Just like give me a quick 10-second rundown.
That's it. That's all.
Well, pretty much it's this guy in a video wearing a fox mask, and they like go through all the noises that animals make, and then they come to the chorus, and it says like, "What does the fox say?" And then they do this stupid like ding, 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 ding. I don't know. It's
terrible. You can look it up, Dave. You have to look it up.
It's like a dance video. It's really dumb.
All right. Well.
And very, it gets in your mind.
Yeah.
But in reality, foxes make horrible noises because we have some in our neighborhood. Foxes. Fox eye. They sound like women being like tortured. It's horrible.
It's like
everyone like leaves their house.
They sound like women being tortured.
They do. It's horrible. Like they sound like a woman screaming bloody murder.
Oh,
and
God.
It brings everyone out of their house whenever the fox is like mating or calling its mate or whatever it does when it yells like that. And everyone's like, "Did you hear that? Oh, my God." Turns out it's the fox.
That's what the fox says.
Yeah, it's a nasty noise.
That's
it's very frightening, especially in the middle of the night.
That's horrifying. See, yeah. This is why I like it better in the city where it's nice and quiet.
No fox.
Identifiable
sounds. Up here in the country, 15 miles from Manhattan, full of foxes.
Yeah, you're upstate.
No. No.
You're above 14th Street. You're upstate.
Oh, yeah. That's what everyone thinks we're upstate. We're really not upstate. Upstate is upstate. Everyone thinks that someone else is upstate. That's the rule.
Well, it's like being upstream. I think it's all relative.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, come on. We can see the city. That's so not upstate. Although, have you ever been to upstate Manhattan? I hear that's nice.
I've never been above, I think, like 92nd Street.
Yeah, because if you go all the way up to the very top of Manhattan, people call that upstate Manhattan. Because it's
upstate
pretty
Manhattan.
Strangely like rural, and I don't know what's going on up there. I've never been there.
I don't know. I came to the city thinking that I was going to do all this exploration, and I do, but I do within these weird like boundaries. I kind of gravitate towards stuff I recognize, and I don't.
Well, you don't want to be like, you know, good block, bad block. good block, drug block. You know, it's not that bad anymore, but you can get in the wrong situation.
I think like looking at the map, apparently I live in the lowest income neighborhood in the entirety of Manhattan. And I feel totally safe here.
What, where do you live?
Lower East Side. I guess a few blocks east, there's like housing projects or something.
What streets are you by?
Essex and Delancey.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Now your stalkers are going to know where you live, Dave.
I used to work on St. Mark's and First.
Okay, so just a few blocks from me. So you were like 3 or 4 blocks or 5 or 6 blocks northwest.
Okay, so I walked through your area. That's where the costume shop was for the particular theater I was working at. To go south of where we were. I don't know. I walked through this really gross park. It had a lot of bum sex. I don't know. It was very strange.
So, when you say bum sex.
You know, just like a whole bunch of homeless people just go there to bang homeless each other. Bums. I don't know, because that's what happened while I was walking through it every time.
I mean, homeless people, they got to do something.
Yeah, and that's where they do it.
What did you think she meant?
I know.
Well, in Europe, particularly in England, bum means ass.
Oh, well.
You were to go to London and say bum sex.
I'm really not politically correct. Sorry. What would they say? Habitually challenged, right? Individuals having sex in a park.
Okay. Okay.
Homeless sex. Yeah.
Homeless sex. When I was living in Denver, I lived a few blocks away from a homeless shelter, and in the alley behind my building, because I would walk out that way to take the dog out, sometimes I would find condoms in the alley.
Ugh.
Used condoms.
Stop. And stop.
Oh. Every time.
Are we telling condom stories now?
Oh, let's.
Marco had a used condom left on the hood of his brand new car. Yep. With what we think are zipper scratches.
Wow.
That was fun.
Oh. Wait, when? When was this?
When we lived in our apartment in the town that we live in now, he had to park in the, because otherwise it was street parking, and he had to park in, we like bought a parking spot in this like shady kind of little apartment building, and
wait a minute,
it was like against some woods, and we're pretty sure there was definitely sex on his car because they left the condom on it. So I mean,
zipper marks
and zipper scratches zipper on the track.
So this is the part I don't understand. What is the configuration that you end up with zipper marks on the car?
Well, yeah, I mean, think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
I think I can make that happen in my mind.
I can make that happen in my mind too.
Yeah, it's not that difficult a one to make happen.
Where on the car were the zipper marks?
On the hood. Like on the very front, like someone was leaning over the car.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like up against the car.
No, like on the very hood of the car. And there were like, I should explain, there were also handprints.
Let's see, this is all making a lot more sense.
Yeah, handprints. You know, use condoms, zipper marks. He's going to kill me for saying this story. Although I think it might have been on one of his podcasts, but he left out the used condom part.
Fucking people, man.
I know. Animals.
What does the fox say?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wow.
What a great story to end on.
That was a great story, Tiffany. Oh, my God.
It came out of nowhere. Like, the whole show, we're talking about normal stuff and whatever, and then suddenly at the end, used condom stories. Everybody's got to use condom stories.
Columbine and dogs dying in movies.
It got weird. Good.
Fantastically weird, but awesome.
I think people are going to listen to this, and they're going to come into the show thinking that it's going to be like what the first 5 minutes of the show were, and then it turns into this other thing.
Yep. Yeah, well, they get a nice little dessert at the end, you know, if they stick with it.
I don't know if I would call a used condom dessert.
The aperitif.
Oh.
Zipper marks on the hood.
I'm still the zipper marks.
on his new car. It was this new car.
See, I thought you were saying that this
not
happened
his current
recently.
Car, his other that, car.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, how is this not on Twitter? How is this not already a story?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I'm pretty sure he told a story that someone had sex on his car, but he left off the best part. And I remember listening, you know, in the other room when Adam was an infant and being like, no. About the best part.
The best part.
So you now it gets revealed on your part. Show, the best part.
That's right. Wow. The story, the full story, full disclosure.
You heard it here first.
Right, where there was no doubt of what happened that night on his car.
It was.
What do you think people are thinking when they just throw a condom on the hood of a car? Like, you know what? This is a good enough place for this.
Well, they really want to make sure they knew, you know, where they were banging.
That's pretty crazy. I don't, yeah. Oh, man. I can't even imagine. Yeah, like... that you'd want to leave that evidence there.
What do you do with it? Like, if you're Marco, you go out to the car.
Well, he swore a lot, and I think we found a very large leaf to remove it with.
Oh, man.
Oh, good God. I can't imagine. And what a horror. Like, that's worse than... than having your car keyed. Well, I don't know.
No, it's
having
worse.
Your car zippered.
It's worse because there's, for lack of better, this is a biohazard sitting on your car.
Well, right. I meant the zipper effect the rather
zipper
than
effect.
The condom.
Whatever.
I just mean because if somebody
scratch,
keys your car, that's them being a dick. They get nothing out of it. If somebody's fucking on your car and they happen to leave some marks, like that sucks. But at least they weren't like maliciously attacking your vehicle. They just needed a place to screw.
Right, and
like,
what better place than a black BMW, right?
Right, you can kind of understand. Like, you wouldn't do it yourself, and you're not okay with it, but you at least, you can get your head around why that would happen.
I mean, I definitely think they did pick the better car in the parking lot.
So. See, whenever I'm having sex on the hood of a car, I try to make sure it's the nicest car. It's
well,
available.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have it on some rust bucket. That's terrible.
You got to know it's clean, germ-free.
You got to take a lady. You got to take a lady to a nice car.
That's right.
Nice car hood.
Baby, I got this primo hood for you right here.
Hey, I'm not going to take her to a Chevy or something. Or a Honda.
Ford.
It's luxury cars or nothing.
Really?
That's right. Four-door sedans really show that you're a family man.